Shocker, how you doing?
So funny, Gregor.
Buddy, why are you saying me? You know that I do not control the music on this show. He played Kings of Leon earlier. You think I would let that play?
When Mark Mageau phoned me to bring me on the show today,
yeah.
He said to me, hey, are you good to go? And I said, yes. And then he proceeded to throw you under the bus by saying, full disclosure, I did not pick the music for your segment today.
You know what?
That is Gregor.
A flat-out bold lie by Mark Mageau.
Come on.
You can ask.
One of you two is lying to me.
Yeah, well, I can tell you right now, it ain't me. And Bronte was right here when Mageau came in. He goes,
Shoggy, I was here, but I didn't hear anything.
I can tell you the truth, and I don't mind telling the truth because I'm not worried about you. But Mageau goes, hey, do you think Rashad could get upset if we played the Brady Bunch? He said, God, no. Play it. So, yes, I gave him the green light to play it, but it was not my idea. I wish it was my idea. I would love to take credit for the idea. For those who don't know, it's because Rashad's got 19 kids in his house. So
yeah, it's not 19, it's five. Okay, so well, my two cool. boys and Randine and her three wonderful kids. But, yes, it does bear a small resemblance to a formerly very popular television show. All right, nice to know our personal lives aren't off.
It's just a funny song. It's just a funny song. I think it's good.
Good to know.
The best part was you were singing along, knowing that you weren't on air. That was the part that made it great.
Yeah, da 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 da. It was.
Edmonton Oilers. Martin Marincin. I want to talk about Martin Marincin.
Sure.
I love the fact what his quote after the game. I was floating for the rest of the game after scoring. You know,
I don't think he quite knew what he meant. He didn't mean that.
Well, I think he kind of meant it. Like, you're that excited, right? Like on cloud nine.
I don't think he meant floating in the sense
of
a floater.
Well, I didn't take it that way. I took it like he was floating. Like, man, I was on such a high from scoring my, and especially because his first NHL goal is a pretty sweet shot.
Yeah. So, I don't want to take this too far. But you guys watched that game last night, too. Did you not notice, even before he scored that goal, there was a little something extra in Marincin's step last night? He jumped into the rush a couple times. He did a little dangling here and there. Now, if you recall back in his first few pro camps, and even as a junior player, he was all about that. Like, risk, way up ice, all over the place. And then when he became an NHLer, that was all out of his game. There was defense is what's going to let you stay in the NHL. And that run of 30 or 40 games that he had a couple of years ago where he played so well, that's what he made his mark on. But it's time for Marincin to start letting it, you know, start dangling a little bit again. It's time for him to let a little bit of confidence in his game lead him. And because he has the ability to do that kind of thing. We saw it last night, and I'd like to see him do it a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, when I look at Martin, what I see, it looked like a guy who was trying to play safe and to not make mistakes.
For sure.
Rather than just go out and do what he does. Now, not just go out. He's a young player. He's kind of got to make sure he takes care of his own end. But it seemed he just tried to lock it down and be too safe. And if he finds the happy medium, as he has at times, then you see what he's all about, right?
Well, and I'm not going to criticize him at all for the way he approached getting to the NHL. I think it was the smart thing to do. I mean, they weren't looking at him as a guy that needed to come in and produce a bunch of offense for them. They weren't looking at him like that. And Dallas told him, look, just play defense. That's what you're here for. I think he was smart in doing it that way. But now that he's here, he's going to play the rest of the year here. He can play a decent brand of defense. He's still coming. He needs to get stronger, and his battle level needs to still go up. But what he showed last night, he's got a little bit of razzle in his game, and there's nothing wrong with maybe letting that hang out there a little bit now and then. And I think now is the time for him to do it late in the season here and show. And you'll see the confidence in him, like you talked about, the way he felt after scoring that goal, the confidence in him. He needs to play the game with that kind of swagger.
Well, definitely, it's the being consistent in his competitiveness, but not just in the offensive zone, right? Like the one thing that this young group of Oilers collectively has to learn is they need to compete as hard in the defensive zone as want to dangle in the offensive zone.
Yeah, for sure, and an unwillingness to engage physically hard enough in his own end kept him out of the NHL this year. I mean, that's why Marincin has 33 games in the league this year and not 65. right? That was immediately what we saw with him, was that, yeah, he's getting pushed off pucks. He's not battling hard enough. He's too easy to play against. Nobody expects him to go out there and be Matt Green, but he needs to at least put up a fight in his own zone and lean on some people. And that kept him out of the league. That was a pretty valuable lesson for him this year. And he's made some small strides in that area. What's going to push him over the edge and allow him to do this more is when he goes from, I mean, he's listed at 203. I bet he's a buck 95. Like, honestly, the guy, he's a beanpole. When he hits 215 pounds, we saw this with Jeff Petrie. He'll start to get his man strength, and he'll be more confident in his own end in those battles. But right now, he's not where he needs to be on the battlefront.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, Martin put himself in trouble by not doing the things you're talking about. One thing I noticed last night, Ryan, and I don't know if you've given this much thought, some people would go with what Nelson had to say about Justin Schultz, for instance, and he had a terrible night. And
yeah.
And Nelson didn't really skirt around that. He described it as such, and the wave goes against you. And I take pokes at Schultz too for, you know, throwing pizzas in the middle and stuff like that. But you know what? As long as he sees things for as they are and goes to the player afterwards, be it Marty Marincin or Justin Schultz, and says, look, you can do better than that. I know you can. And that approach that he seems to have, it seems to me some of these players, there's hope that their game's going to grow.
Yeah, I mean, I watched really closely on the bench to see the way Nelson handled that situation. And after the first one, after the turnover, he never really said anything. You know, and it was painful. Like, Justin, excuse me, he turned it over, and they scored the goal, and then he went and he stood on the end of the bench, like on the ice, but leaning up against the end of the bench while that painful 20 or 30 seconds of eternity happens while the league's making sure everything's all on the up and up, and they're watching it on the big screen. And Justin's head just dropped. And now, I don't know that this happened. It looked to me like he nodded to the guys on the bench and then hopped over and changed. Now, more than likely, it was Ramsey or whoever's working that end of the bench that told him to change. Then he got on the bench, his head was hanging. He was not in a good place. Nelson left it alone in that minute. Then Justin Schultz went over the boards, played another shift. Next touch he had, another terrible turnover. And then he short-shifted himself, went to the bench, and that's when Nelson went over, patted him on the shoulder, said a few words to him, come on, we need you, let's go. And that's how he handled that situation. Now, Justin was still pretty brutal for the rest of the game, threw the puck over the glass, took a terrible penalty. But I agree with you, Robin, in that when I asked him a question about Justin Schultz after the game, he didn't just block for the player entirely. He didn't just take us all for idiots by trying to say, it was no big. He said, it's a tough game. Like, guys, sometimes it's not your night. And that was the case for Justin Schultz tonight. He didn't throw his player under the bus, but he didn't insult him by trying to protect him in an unnecessary way. It's an off night. Justin Schultz is not a terrible player. That's not the way Justin Schultz plays every night. He had an off night. He said it for what it was, and everybody moves on. But I like the way Nelson handled it.
Yeah, I'm never going to analyze a player's career based on one game. Throwing the puck over the boards, I really, or over the glasses, to me, it's not, whatever. You know what? I can name a ton of all-star players that have got delay of game penalties in third period. So to me, that's...
But that one was tough, given the way the rest of it had gone.
I get it. Yeah. And it was a fitting end to a brutal game for a player, I think, was probably how I would look at it. But the one concern I have in Schultz's game, and has always had, is his lack of just sheer competitiveness, not toughness, competitiveness in the defensive zone. And I'm not sure how that improves.
Yeah, no, and I think you're bang on in pointing out the main deficiency in the player's game. Like, throw a puck into the corner and send Justin Schultz and any other player in. And, I mean, just strictly pride alone, you don't come up with that puck, you should be pissed off, you should be angry. You should be embarrassed and frustrated. And I don't see that intensity level in Justin. There isn't a sense of pride in winning one-on-one battles. He's just kind of whatever about it. And that's a problem. I don't know how they instill that in the player. I don't know what percentage it can improve. It doesn't make him a useless NHL player, though. I mean, it doesn't mean that he's not redeemable and can't be part of things if and when this thing turns around, you just got to put him. I mean, you got to have him with the right partner. You got to put him with a guy who is all battle and can insulate. The problem for Justin right now, guys, is that he's not generating enough offense to be that crummy in his own end, right? Like Tyson Berry, Mike Green, you know, Eric Carlson, named the best offensive defenseman in the game. And if they have an off night in their own zone, it's no big deal because they've probably got five shots on that and an apple or a goal, right? Justin's not producing the offense required to have that little give a you-know-what in his own zone. And that's a problem. He needs, if he's not going to be putting up the points, he needs to be buckling it down in his own end, and he's going to have to learn that. But he's 195 games into his NHL career. He's still relatively young in terms of being an NHL player. I don't think this player needs to just be tossed to the curb. He's still a really good defenseman. He just he needs better defensemen around him to be able to succeed, I think, too, because he's just being given too much. Yep. He's not ready for it. We saw it with Petrie.
You know, and you're right, Ryan. I think, though, he needs to give himself a chance to be successful in those other areas. And one thing he can control, just like when you look at a guy like Nikita Nikitin and say, you didn't come into camp in shape, really, at that kind? No. Oh, it doesn't matter how much you're making. With Justin, he's never going to be... It's not in his personality to be that board banging defenseman, but he can work on becoming physically stronger, and not that he's in bad shape, but just physically stronger so that you know what? If he has a puck battle, he's got half a chance to have some success. If you're not physically strong enough and every time you try, a guy shucks you off like a mosquito, you avoid it. That's human nature.
Yeah, for sure. And like, Justin's going to have to look in the mirror here a little bit and realize, I mean, with his contract up here, like he's at a crossroads in his career where if Justin can take an honest look in the mirror and realize the deficiencies in his game, ask for help, figure out how to fix it, and really buckle down in trying to get better in some of these areas. Take like a Nugent Hopkins stayed in the last offseason. He knew what was preventing him from taking the next step. Just physically, he wasn't there. So he says no to the World Championships. He digs in on his training, and he comes in a different level of physical conditioning. Justin Schultz needs to do the same thing. He has to take responsibility for taking the next step and not just thinking if he shows up and puts his gear on, it's going to happen. And that's part of becoming a professional. And not everybody gets that right away. And the Oilers need to decide if they think Justin Schultz is going to get that. And if they think that he is, you give him the opportunity to do it with them, and he probably takes another step. But if he can't look in the mirror, can't be honest with himself about where the responsibility lies to take the next step in his career, and just wants to do the same old, then this is what he's going to be, which is a third-pairing guy that is probably a second-unit power play guy on most teams.
Ryan Rashaga joins us. Shar, what are you hearing on Fain and Hendricks?
Yeah, well, I mean, so they were called...
Davidson.
They were called Davidson, the defenseman, so they're obviously needing some help back there. I would assume it'll probably be a little bit longer term with Fain, but I don't have any more updated information today. The team took the day off today, so there wasn't a lot of information to be had, but they're getting banged up, right? Like this is unusual, the number of days they're getting off here. I think this is their third in a week or something like that. So you can tell that the types of injuries that are happening, the wrenched backs and they've had a couple of wrenched backs now. I think Todd Nelson's just erring on the side of trying to rest guys. So maybe another call-up of a forward coming, who knows?
Well, it'd have to be an emergency recall, right? They can't.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
but it would be.
But they have Matt Fraser, so it can't be. Right, Fraser comes out of the press box for Hendricks, and they're going to have to put another winger at center ice. But because they have 12 healthy forwards, they can't even emergency recall anyone.
Oh, really? So okay. Now, do they not, like, are they carrying a full complement of guys, though?
Yeah, they have 12 forwards. Think about it, because Matt Fraser was a healthy scratch last night. Hendricks gets hurt, so he goes in for him. Davidson's emergency recalled for Fain.
Yeah.
So only way they can...
Well, I guess it just depends on if Hendricks is... Well, I guess what I'm saying is if Hendricks can't play and they need to IR him, then they can emergency recall someone.
Because Matt Fraser's healthy and he just goes in, right? Like, you can't emergency recall now unless the player's going to play, right? Because it's not an emergency. They have 12 healthy forwards, even if Matt Hendricks goes on the IR. Like, that's the one part about this four recall rule late in the season that I think should be looked at. To me, it's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, because you need to have an extra forward in case you play back-to-backs and get another injury, right?
Exactly.
and you don't have time to get your player there. So, yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how they manage it. But I don't mind. You know, I mean, good for Davidson. He'll get a look here. Sounds like he's had a decent year, and he's got something to prove for next season, right? I mean, he wants to be in the back of their minds when they're deciding, you know, when they need to decide what they're doing with that, how many free agent defensemen they're going to sign, or are they going to pick up that extra depth guy? Well, if he has a good run of a few games here, then he can be on their minds. So this will be important for him, and it's meaningless hockey. Why not let guys take a, you know, take a look, see what they can do?
Ryan, we talked about this guy plenty, but I thought he had a decent game again last night. Derek Roy, clearly he can play on this roster as it stands now. I guess the question becomes, at what price point and for how long, and if they get one of the big kids in the draft, does that change things? I guess short and sweet, has Derek Roy impressed you that this is more than a spurt, that he's grabbed an opportunity and seems to be riding it for everything it's worth?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Derek Roy was in a fight for his NHL life, right? I mean, he ends up in Nashville where he's not playing, and, like, you know, his playing career is flashing before his eyes, right? It took a trade to get him out of that situation, and he ends up in a top six offensive role. He ends up playing with Nail Yakupov. They develop some chemistry. The points start coming. Like, this is, he's playing for another contract. I wouldn't be in a rush to re-sign him if I were the Oilers. I really wouldn't.
Totally agree with you, Ryan. Because here's the number one reason I wouldn't sign him right away. I have no problem signing him to a one-year contract later in the summer as a depth guy, but the Edmonton Oilers, newsflash, they're not winning with Smurfs in their top 6 and 9. Yeah, it hasn't happened for 5 years. So I don't care. Go out and sign any other free agent centerman who's going to bring a different element, because you can't just look and say, okay, we're going to go with another small centerman who's not overly physical, who's not a great defensive player and has good offensive upside. Like, there's just, there's other options you have to look at, right? Like, now, I'm not saying he would come here, but man, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, I would go heavy. I know he's not overly big, but he's just so much a better player. Vladimir Sobotka, who's going to be a UFA, that's a guy I would look at. I would seriously look at Kyle Brodziak well before, right-hand shot. Right now, maybe he doesn't want to come back, or I understand all that, but I would exhaust many other center options, and I would keep Roy in my back pocket, because honestly, he waited until late last year to get a signing. I don't see teams lining up, because he's on the 28th place team.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And really, what they get at the draft is important. If it's going to be one of those two kids, then one of them they'll get opportunity to play in one of the top two center spots with Nugent Hopkins. Failing that, if they don't get one of those two, and it looks like they probably won't, I think that now they are looking for someone that can come in. And they don't want to make the same mistake they made last year, which is just giving Draisaitl the number two job and not making him compete for it. So they will be in the market for a top six center to, you know, be a little bit of insulation for Draisaitl. And I just don't think that, I agree with you, that's the reason I was going to give. They just can't knowingly, purposely put more small skill into their lineup. They have to make different decisions and change the shape of their team. And if you go out and get somebody who isn't as offensive, who ends up with 12 points less in a season than Derek Roy, but leans on some people, it's probably worth their while to do it. So I think they need to do, like you said, an exhaustive search and find somebody that can come in and push Draisaitl hard at camp, and who can be a number two if he has to, but more comfortably a three. And now you've got upward pressure. You've got Lander pushing for a spot. You've got Boyd Gordon coming back. You've got Draisaitl if he's ready, and you've got player X who they need to go get. Now you're talking about guys competing for positions and not just having them handed to them.
Mike, we will talk to you tomorrow, my man.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one, boys.
Take her easy.